The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow, Matt, fellow adventurers. I've decided for no real reason at all, just to show off what I got when I backed the 2019 Kickstarter to the highest conceivable level, and then a bit higher than that, because if you haven't quite figured it out by the nearly 400 episodes of this podcast, I'm very much into Swift. It's Backer Bundle Legendary. Claim this special package. Yes, because, well, there's four characters who could claim it, and I only claimed it for one, because you don't need these super buffs to enjoy the game. I mean, they make it easier, so you can go further in some areas, so you can go longer between healing, so you don't have to pay attention as much. And you make numbers bigger. And everybody likes making numbers bigger. Yes, it's a fundamental human desire to make numbers bigger. Yes. So much so that before we knew had numbers, we were all very sad because we had no numbers. So we couldn't make them bigger. And then they invented numbers. And we've been off to the races since then. Because then we could make them bigger. Backer Bundle Legendary. Thank you for acquiring this special package. As always, thank you for playing and supporting Swift. Select the please continue option below to claim this special package. Very special. You're about to acquire your Backer Bundle Legendary. Thank you again for supporting the Swift Kickstarter. It is your support that makes Swift possible. Thank you for Matt, the Game Master at Swift.com. Spoils of Adventure. Journeys in Darkness. Dangerous ventures into depths uncharted, and daunting treks through wilds untamed have hardened you to the grim perils ever ready to confront the intrepid and bring to mind the lurking spectre of your own mortality. A famed ransoming gold, a recent adventure undertaken on behalf of a merchant desperate to protect a wagon load of mysterious glowing rocks, has earned you a hoard of gold. 150,000 gold. And that's a lot. Chance encounter. The scrap of paper handed to you by the hooded woman you encountered on the streets of Talonus led you to a spot in the forest east of the city, where you unearthed a strong box filled with adventurer tokens. 8,000 adventurer tokens. Now that's more than you could ever conceivably need. That allows you to buy several of the best equipment at Tally's. but not everything, because Tally's has been everywhere and got everything. And not even 8,000 adventure tokens would get all the stuff he's got, let alone the stuff he's hiding. The School of Hard Knocks. Venturing, despite its rewards, isn't the easiest of professions, and you have the scars to prove it. You've also gained invaluable experience during your trials that's certain to serve as you continue to pursue the perilous course you've plotted. 150,000 general experience. Yeah, it's pretty nice, pretty nice. And 15,000 all skills and powers experience. Very nice. A ticket to the Everforge. The Grateful Wizard, those musty library of dust-laden tunes and scattered scrolls, is now, thanks to you, free of its tarn rat infestation, handed you a strange silver encrusted ticket, which explains would gain you entry to the Everforge in Twindmore. Everforge ticket view. This silver encrusted ticket, awarded to you by a grateful mage, those library you cleared for tarn rat infestation, is your key to the Everforge in Twindmore. To find the Everforge, visit Mistgate Square in Twindmore, Southeast Tosa, and investigate the Mistgate Shua. Be sure to have this ticket with you. Before you can ask him anything further about either the ticket or the Everforge, he hastily summoned a host of iron constructs that proceeded to show you the door. And it was a really nice door. Especially from the other side. It's a really nice door to look at from the outside. I was so impressed by that door, I was barely perturbed at all. The Everforged. The ticket you've just acquired grants you access to the Everforged in Twindmore, where you'll be able to select all six items from the Everforged Diamond Collection, which is the highest level. How to find the Everforged? Travel to Trimidor in Southeast Tosa and visit Mistgate Square. In Mistgate Square, investigate the Mistgate Shua. The Elder Fire in darkness, while a weary world slumbers, the Elder Fire silently gathers its ancient might, channeling the spirits, those whispered wisdom, haunts and attends the waking age. I have now got the Raging Elder Fire. Let's look at it. 50 melee rating, 50 stamina points, and 24 Neville Reserve. Which is a lot. In darkness, while a wary word suns slumbers, the Elder Fire silently gathers its ancient might, telling the spirits those whispered wisdom haunts and attends the waking age. This ornate vial contains the raging inferno of Elder Fire, a substance, an entity impervious to the effects of time. May the Elder Fire inspire and guide you on your adventures. The ornate vial in your possession now contains the essence of Elder Fire, a substance and entity impervious to the effects of time. May the Elder Fire inspire and guide you on your adventures. Oh, you get the same thing twice. Okay. Dragor's Token of Luck. Despite never having achieved the acclaim of his brother, Wargoro, the famed armourer, Dragolo possessed and honed a formidable mastery of magic that made him the envy of his many spellcasting rivals. Primarily focused on magic dealing with augmentation and luck, Dragolo's way is rumoured to have aided his brother's armoursmithing efforts to great effects. The circular totion you're about to receive is the only item of Dalgoro's crafting known to exist. Is Dalgoro's Token of Luck. Each side of the token bears an ornate engraved D, Dalgro's insignia. Don't fret too much about it, but it might be wise to not let the grey circle catch wind of the fact you're in possession of an item crafted by a Dalgro. Yes. Yes. Okay, next one. Orvlian's Dust of Polymorphism. The pouch of a sore-hued dust seems oddly heavy, given that it barely covers the middle of your palm. But the nervous arcane spy, who gladly parted with it, thanks to a favour you were owed, tells you need only sprinkle it over a quickstone to unlock one of the artifact's hidden powers. Okay. That's the Dust of Polymorphism. You empty the white, diamond-hued dust from the pouch and watch as a shimmering cloud falls gently over your quickstone. For a fleeting moment, the quickstone emits a soft hum. You're no longer carrying the Dust of Polymorphism. The quickstone's long-hidden power of polymorphism, diamond level, has been unlocked. The powerful but unpredictable polymorphic power of the quickstone has potential to briefly transform a foe with whom you've engaged into one of a wide array of harmless creatures, thus temporarily reducing their difficulty. A pet for your residents, operating behind the facade of a curiosity shop in Mistate Square in Twinmidor, Verbrin the Critter Keeper is willing to part with a peculiar creature that's recently come into his keeping. I now have a Critter Keeper's Decree. The failed document you've just received, the Critter Keeper's Decree, entitles you to adopt the aforementioned creature, as long as you can provide the critter with a suitable home. To acquire the critter from Velbrin, visit the curiosity shop in Missgate Square in Twindmore. Yes. The furled piece of yellow paper, its surface adorned with a fanciful faded script, is what you need to have with you when you visit the curiosity shop in Missgate Square in Twindmore. Trowark's Amazing Trinkets. The trinkets collected by the eccentric Master Mage Trowark are both numerous and beneficial, but the six trinkets you're about to receive are exclusive to the backer bundle. You'll first receive the Trowark's Trinket Trunk. This magical trinket container will hold an unlimited number of Trowark's legendary trinkets. I now have Trowark's Trinket Trunk. It gives one melee rating, one stamina point, and one Neville reserve. And I can look inside it, but not yet. Okay. This iron-banded oaken trunk, which appears to survive multiple fires, is the magical chest of legend known as Trowark's Trinket Trunk. Three glowing blue glyphs adorn the trunk's lid. An eye, a hand, and a circle. Into this bottomless container can be placed any number of the Trowark's magnificent trinkets. Any Trowark trinket you acquire will automatically be stored in the trunk, which will have its own item category section in your inventory. The trunk is listed in your inventory under Miscellaneous, and the trinkets it contains are listed in the Trinket Trunk section. And I've got six of these things. The Block of Decay. Two stamina points. It is one of Trowark's trinkets. This fungus-covered wooden block, about the size of a cave goblin's head, will accelerate pulses of rot, decomposition, and decay of any objects next to which it rests for a period of several days. Believe that this bizarre and dangerous trinket is responsible for collapse of several structures, including an ancient Vist bridge in northeast Tulsa and an entire village in Philidon. Don't store this next to your food. The Spoon of Augury. 1 Mino rating, 1 Sanima point, 1 Neville reserve. Most would say the future can't accurately be predicted by a spoon. They would be wrong. The Spoon of Augury. A trinket Turok hastened acquired deep in the jungles of Haustamok is able to predict with perfect certainty all manner of future events. Unfortunately, the crudely carved wooden spoon is utterly incapable of communicating his oracular discoveries. Oh, yep, yeah, that's the trinkets for you. Feathered Spear of Vigor. 2 milli rating, 2 spanner points. Few things in this world, or in any other world, are as simultaneously odd and wonderful as an iron spear covered in a layer of moving feathers. The colourful feathers covering this spear always seem to be in motion and are perpetually ruffled. Pulling out the spear is a conversation starter like no other. Bungled, bundled twigs of dissent. Clutching this twine wrapped bundle of twigs, which gives 2 melee rating and 3 stamina points. Another 2 melee rating and 3 stamina points. Clutching this twine wrapped bundle of twigs brings to mind feelings and notions counter to whatever the prevailing sentiment of your current circumstance. In short, the twigs can make you contrarian, argumentative, and defiant. Loom of Crystal Illusion. 1 melee rating, 4 stamina points, 1 Neville reserve. Strange and disconcerting images, blurred behind a wavering crystalline curtain, surge through your mind whenever you place this fluffy white plume near your head. Despite the disturbing visions, you feel stronger and more confident with the plume in your possession. Sorceress Pouch of Cackles. 2 melee rating, 2 stamina points, 3 Neville reserve. Never open this black leather pouch unless you truly desire to be frightened. Whenever the drawstring is loosened, a pall of maniacal laughter erupts from the pouch, assailing the senses and the sanity of anyone unfortunate enough to be in standing earshots. Probably best to keep it closed tightly. Oh, really? Opening up. Okay, closing it. Orb of Inspiration. Strange, wonderful, and inspiring are the words that best describe the Orb of Inspiration. Though strange is probably closest to the mark. Gazing into the orb's cloudy depths once per hour reveal to you a positive, according to Tally's, and inspiring again, according to Tally's image. It is rumoured, though no means confirmed, the orb will, from time to part-time, provide anyone gazing into it a small benefit. It's an orb of inspiration. Gazing into this cloudy orb from any safe location will grant you one unique inspiring, according to Tally's, vision every hour. Though the orb of inspiration was added to the backer bundle by Tally's, the legendary master adventurer, now retired, refuses to answer any questions about it. You can gaze into it from any safe location. The Backer Bundle's Tome. The Backer Bundle's Tome will contain the names of all those who backed the Swift Kickstarter, for which I, your humble GM, am profoundly grateful. Having your name included in the Backer's Tome is optional, but if you've opted to be included, you may choose to be identified in one of the following ways. Your full name, your first name and last initial, first and last name, your Swift username. Your backer bundle tome inclusion preference was one of the questions you answered in the Kickstarter reward survey. You may change your preference for inclusion in the backer tome at any time by sending me an email, gamemaster@swift.com. The Swift backer tome is viewable both on www.swift.com and in-game at the windowless building with a blue door. Move dustbin. The Oxian Wave Stone. The triangular piece of stone you are about to receive, each of its sides emblazoned with a glowing red glyph in the shape of a fanged wing set of jaws, was long ago crafted in the Neveral Realm of Oxius. While the nature and extent of the Wave Stone's power is not known, it's believed the stone will benefit its wearer during combat. Oxian Wave Stone. This triangular piece of black stone, each of its sides emblazoned with a glowing red glyph in the shape of a fang-winged set of jaws, was long ago crafted in the Neveral Realm of Oxus. While the true extent of the object's power remains unknown, it is believed it will benefit the wearer during combat. A shimmering rage momentarily overtakes you whenever you close your hand around the stone, so be careful with that. Potion of Divine Bewilderment. The bubbling, eschewed huge liquid in the narrow vial before you isn't something you're particularly eager to consume. However, recalling the eerie dusk encounter with the old woman at the edge of Blade Square in Twyfik, during which she handed you the potion while extolling its wondrous virtues, is enough for you to allow yourself to throw caution to the wind. You hastily remove the thick wax seal and impetuously govern the vial's weaving contents. A strange sense of bewilderment descends upon you as the last drops from the vial hit your tongue and slide down your throat. You cast the empty bottle aside and quickly endeavour to steady yourself as your knees buckle and your legs begin to shake. Suddenly, just as quickly as it began, the deserting sensation abates, leaving you with what you can only describe as a renewed sense of worth and purpose. Your melee rating has been permanently increased by 12, your stamina points by 13, and your Neville reserve by 6. Coin of Guile. This marred, octagonal gold coin, which you acquired in a wild game of Oakbok, a game of wagers, card and dice, is unbeknownst to the man who wagered it, the legendary coin of Guile. Each side of the coin bears a crude engraving of a coiled snake. Carrying the coil of Guile on your person will provide you the second chance on skill checks involving thievery or diplomacy. Needless to say, the coin is an object coveted by thieves and submerchants throughout the realm. Deck of Ore. Tallies, by way of an undisclosed bargain with Zuim, has provided you with the amazing Deck of Ore. Cards drawn from this seemingly endless deck provide you with various bonuses. You will at all times have a revealed hand of three cards, each of which will provide you with a specified bonus. Each day, from within your residence or in the windowless building with a blue door, you'll be able to make 6 draws, 4 cards per draw, from the deck and decide whether or not to replace any of the Kree guards cards in your hand with any of those just drawn. Unlocked Quickstone Powers. 3 of the Quickstone's long hidden powers have been unlocked. Valorous Echo. This power provides a chance for your Quickstone to repeat a successful combat role. Malleable Bane. This power has a chance to temporarily alter an enemy class bonus provided by your wielded weapon to match the class of your current foe. So I can have a plus. I can have a extra circuit of a bonus against any type of foe, even really weird ones, or of perceived invincibility. This chance's power will, at the onset of combat, assail and shake your foe's resolve, temporarily reducing their combat effectiveness. Just a friendly reminder that quickstones remain the prized target of thieves. No offence to those skilled in thievery and arcane spies. It's best not to let on you possess one. Yeah, I mean, I have enough problems with all those assassination attempts, as it is. This hopelessly bent iron key, its thick shank twisted halfway along its length at 90 degrees, appears to be a little more than a useless trinket. However, looks can be deceiving. A bent iron key. This bent iron key will unlock the door to a cellar in Belmore's Tavern in Twindmore. Visit Twindmore, southeast Telsa, and explore the harbour area to find Braemore's. With the bent key in your possession, visit Belmore's Tavern, the harbour area in Twindmore, and examine the heavy oaken door. Mark of fortuity. The small, ashore, diamond-shaped mark, emblazoned just above your left wrist. It's a magical glyph that will attempt to aid you when making random number selections augmented by your skills. This rather discreet marking, not easily seen save in direct sunlight, nevertheless reminds you of its presence with a slight but startling pinch every now and then. Jodwid's Quiver. The enchanted, sturdy leather quiver you just acquired. Its rugged casing wrapped with three bands of engraved raven bone once belonged to the legendary archer Jodwid. Any arrow drawn from the quiver will have an increased chance of finding its mark. Arrows of uncommon accuracy. Pilfered from a rage's tower in Philodon and smuggled into Telsia through a shadowy network of thieves and arcane spies. The arrows of uncommon accuracy have now inexplicably made their way into your possession. These were remarkable arrows, fletched with enchanted checkerback feathers, will provide you with a bonus to any skill check involving archery. Best of all, the arrows of uncommon accuracy never run out, meaning that they'll be the arrows you'd employ each and every time you make use of your bow. I'm guessing they just teleport back into the quiver once I'm not paying any attention, something like that. Or they're magic. Well, of course they're magic. But they're magically self-replicating arrows. Or something. The Harbringer's Halo. A faint, thin halo will now revolve around any piece of head armor you equip, providing a boost to any melee rating, standpoint, and never reserve bonus the armor provides. This is the Harbringer's Halo, formed out of the essence of a non-corporeal envoy, one of the more significant crowd entities hailing from the eternally conflicted Neverwhere realm of Duclin. You must now choose if it is the Harbringer of Light or the Harbringer of Darkness. Well, I'm feeling all edgy, so I'll choose Darkness. You've chosen for your halo to be that of the Harbringer of Darkness. A grim sense of foreboding suddenly wells up within you, but it quickly fades. Alright, and that has boosted my stats. a dragonhide weapon wrap. This wide band of dragonhide, emblazoned with black and red glyphs that each seem to depict dragons in flight, will automatically wrap itself around the hilt or haft of your wielded weapon, augmenting any melee bonus the weapon provides. Yeah. Right. You can view the bonus provided to your dragonhide weapon by viewing it in the miscellaneous section of your inventory. Your flying mount. It's a wing engraven token. The engraved token you just received will serve you well when you visit the Babbling Cat Tavern in Mistgate Square in Twindmore, Southeast Telsa, to acquire your flying mount. Present the token to the tavern keep to gain possession of your very own Choadric, a mount that will faithfully and safely bear you through the skies over Tysa. Varkun's Eye of Wrath. The strange and powerful Eye of Wrath, a stone-framed, magically preserved eye of one of the more fearsome foes slain by Master Mage Varkun during his adventuring days, is indeed an artifact worthy of envy. The eye at the centre of the square stone frame continues to look around and blink, making you wonder what it actually sees and who or what may be witness to what it observes. You must now decide which of Varkun's slain foes at the centre of the eye at the centre of the stone frame belonged to. Your section will determine the bonus the eye provides. You can only choose once, so make your choice carefully. Well, it doesn't really matter because I'm not going to keep this stuff. Qualgrok the Grim. Qualgrok, a cruel and savage mountain giant who long maintained his dominion over the western edge of the lower Thundering Range, was slain by Varkun in a brutal battle said to have lasted nearly 6 hours. The Iron Goblin. The Iron Goblin, a cave goblin warrior renowned and feared for his supernatural strength and stamina, met his end when Varkun at last cornered him in a sheltered hollow within sight of the ruined city of Tarn. Athramael of Oxus, the demon Athramael, a one-eyed mass of molten flesh that once imprisoned Varkun in the halls of despair at the bottom of the Oxian Terror Gorge, paid with his life for underestimating the sorcerer's ingenuity and might main root. An ancient and murderous Domruk who long roamed the forests of southern Telsa, once waylaid a coach on which Varkun was passenger. Needless to say, the foul tree's days of meandering ended there and then. I'll take main route, because trees are cool. The eye in Varkun's Eye of Wrath is that of main route. You can't help but wonder if the living stone-framed eye serves as a window for which the long-dead tree fiend glares out upon the world. The Titans of Telsa. Your account has had the Titans of Telsa package added to it. To acquire the Titans of Telsa, visit the windowless building with a blue door, where you'll find it included in the special packages to be claimed section. Yes. Special packages. Your backer bundle, Legendary, allows you to select 25 special packages from the Swift Special Package Archive, which includes every special package ever released. You do not have to select any or any of your 25 special packages from the archive. You can also save some of your selections for future special package releases if you wish. The special package archive will be available at the Windows building with a blue door, starting Sunday, April the 14th, 2019. You may also send an email to gamemaster@swift.com to request particular packages. You've now collected all that your Battle Backer bundle contains. Here are a few notes regarding the contents of your Backer bundle, Everforge items. Visit Mistgate Square in Twindmore, Southeast Telsa, and investigate the Mistgate Shower to access the Everforge. Be sure to bring your Everforge ticket with you. A pet for your residence. Seek out Velbrim in the Quitter Keeper at the Curiosity Shop in Mistgate Square in Twindmore, Southeast Telsa. If you don't yet own a special residence, you first need to acquire one through Faldemin in Talonus. Your flying mount. Visit the Babbling Cat Tavern, Mistgate Square in Twindmore, Southeast Telsa. Bring your winging grave token with you. Thank you for supporting the Swift Kickstarter. Your generous and inspiring support is what makes Swift possible. It's my distinct privilege to be able to create and share the world of Swift with you. Don't forget that each of your characters, current and future, can claim the Backer Bundle. If you ever delete or restart a character that has previously claimed the Battle Bundle, just return to the Windows building with a blue door to claim it again. If any questions, send us a GM. Thanks again for playing and supporting Swift. Keep those stamina points above zero. As always, all the best. Okay, I guess let's go to Twindmore and have a look at all those nice things we got. Okay. Visit the harbour area. Baelmere's Tavern. Among the more reputable establishments to be found lying the narrow streets that snake away from the harbour front, Baelmere's Tavern is a popular not only for the quality of its food and drink, but also its relatively peaceful atmosphere. The tavern's current proprietor, Kilwith Banmerk, a retired adventurer and expert swordsman, is swift to harshly deal with any inappropriate conduct that arises. What if I speak with him? Yep. You find Clerf Soldus sternly admonishing a patron for unruly conduct. The respected tavern keep finishes the task at hand and then engages you in conversation. You learn he's looking to expand the tavern by purchasing a vacant warehouse next door. That presents its own problems, says the bearded, retired adventurer, smiling as he shakes his head. Likely me need some more help around this place if that happens. The more help I pack in here, the more help I'm going to need. Manager, is it? But it gets much bigger. Well, might need another set of heavy hands. After a lengthy conversation, you bid farewell to Kilworth as he hurries off to some overlooked chore. Examine the heavy oaken door. The door, an intimidating barrier that seals off the stairs leading down into the tavern cellar. It's comprised of three heavy iron bands and a trio of thick oaken planks. You tug gently at its ornate latch. The door, which is apparently locked, neither budges nor rattles. Suddenly, realizing that more than one set of eyes has taken interest of your interaction with the door, you quickly pretend to be examining something on the nearby wall before moving away. As you step away from the door, you're met by the tavern keep, Kilwith Banmerk. The imposing retired adventurer and expert swordsman asks you about your interest in the oaken door, having apparently seen you examine it. The way you're gazing at the door, I was left to wonder if perhaps you've got the key for it, he says, eyeing you suspiciously. It's a bent iron key, by all appearances beyond repair. But it's not an ordinary key. Have you got it? The instant you draw out the key in question, Kilvith's eyes widen, and nervously glances around the common room. All right, here's the lay of it, he says in a hushed tone, going again, glancing about as if he fears being overheard. That key will open the door to the cellar. It's unlocked for a good long while. And only I know why. Don't ask. Can't tell you why. Listen to me. You listen with growing interest. The Gurth tells you the door to the cellar was magically sealed after a strange incident several years back. And the bent iron key in your possession will open it. He says the key was supposed to remain in the keeping of the maids whose magic sealed the door, though it's plain that it's no longer the case. There's only one thing I'd like out of that cellar, he says. It's an old book down there, resting on some crates. Agree to give me a book and I will give you this, which will come in handy in the cellar. Except the tavern keeper holds up a small, plain steel key. When you inquire about the steel key, he tells you to unlock a strong box in the cellar. I can't advise opening a box, mostly because I don't know what's in it, he says, calling to the wizard who sealed up the cellar. Whatever's locked up in that box is supposedly the root of the trouble. Not sure I ever truly believed him. Adventurous intuition, you know. But I'm no longer keen on taking chances. However, you, however, seem brash and reckless enough. In all the very best ways, Kilvith tells you that after you bring him the book, he'll give you the key to the strong box. He'll lock you in the cellar while you open it. Can't take any chances, he says. Intrigued by all the tavern keeper's told you, you agree to enter the cellar and fetch from the book in exchange for the steel key that will open the strong box. He promptly hands you the steel key, which you slip into your pocket. After making certain no one is watching that closely, Kilvith takes the bent iron key from you and begins tapping against the door's sturdy planks. Suddenly, the door shudders and the bent iron key, grasped in Kilvith's white hand, swiftly straightens itself. Immediately take note of the rapidly fading silver glow surrounding the door's ornate hatch. Gone, in you go, whispers Kilvith, turning to smile and nod at a patron glancing in your direction. Hurry now! Can't do this a second time. Kilvith grasps the latch and pulls the door slightly ajar, leaving just enough space for you to slip past the imposing barrier and begin a cautious descent down a set of worn wooden steps. Halfway down the stairs, your light source flares to life, scattering the musty gloom as you enter the cellar beneath Brailmore's Tavern. The cellar proves to be a surprisingly small and almost entirely empty, save for a small stack of crates in one corner and a glowing wooden strong box sitting against the far wall. You examine the crates and find the book Kilvith mentioned and immediately take possession of it, the thin volume, its worn cover and mould ridden. Its cover worn and mould ridden appears to contain a brief history of Trindmore. Turning your attention to the strong box, you cautiously approach the glowing container. A soft glow surrounds the strong box, which appears to have suffered no ill effects despite its dank surroundings. You waste no time putting the steel key to use. Within moments, a sharp click indicates the sturdy container is now unlocked. With the pulse quickening, you carefully push back the lid. Well met! Your heart skips a beat and you leap back as a rat garbed in colourful finery, standing on its hind legs, climbs out of the open box and bows deeply. You're not the one who locked me in there, he says, stretching and twisting. And, I might say, I never got locking in there. I'd been just a tiny bit wary. What a fool I was. Good of you, though, to let me out. Here. I've got something you can have, your tools. Was it trouble? Don't like to make trouble. Diminutive rat man leans into the strongbox and retrieves a bulging leather pouch. Tosses to you. You snatch the pouch out of mid-air, and are startled to discover it contains a large quantity of adventurer tokens. 100 adventurer tokens! There, how's that? Not enough. You're a hard one, you are. Hard on the stone. The rat man, after taking a moment to try and smooth his hopelessly wrinkled attire, reaches back into the strong box and draws out a stoppered vial of red liquid. He sneezes twice, begs your pardon, and places the vessel at your feet. I wouldn't give that to just anyone, he says, shaking his head. But you, my good friend, having freed me from those insufferable confines, are quite deserving of it. Don't worry. Have a good swig at that. He'll have you harder than a pot of boiled ooze. Right at it. That's how you do it. Despite your initial misgivings, you immediately unstopper and stop the vial and down its contents. A strange sensation briefly passes through you, leaving you feeling the slightest bit sleepy in its wake. Your stamina points have been permanently increased by 4. All right. Don't get any all wild-eyed on me, says the rat, flickering his lengthy tail as he adjusts his green and red vest. There's one more barbell in that old box. I've been saving it for someone special. So the fact I'm going to give it to you should make you feel just a bit special. The rat reaches into his strong box and fetches a gold wooden ring, which he holds up for you to see. It's made for someone your side, he says. Won't fit me, otherwise I'd wear it. Don't ask me anything about it, because I don't know anything about it. Here, before I change my mind. Ah! He tosses you the ring. It's an unidentified gold wooden ring. This is the guard wooden ring given to you by the rat man in the cellar of Brilmer's Talon in Twindmore. Well, that about settles everything, says the rat man, rubbing his hands together. Never did introduce myself. I don't think I will. It's nothing personal, mind. Just a preference of mine. All right, off I go. There'll be no more trouble around here for me. Though I can't promise as much for the trickety wizard who locked me away down here. The rat man looks up as you mention the mage and sinisterly draws a finger across his throat. He'll get what he's owed. Make no mistake there, he says. Thank you again. You've made a friend this day. Nameless friend, but a friend no, nevertheless. Fare thee well. With that, the rat man leaps into the strongbox and the lid slaps shut. Before you can react to what's just occurred, the glow surrounding the strongbox rapidly intensifies and the weighted container begins to bounce and rattle. Suddenly, a bright flash of red light floods the cellar, forcing you to shield your eyes. Moments later, when the light has faded, there's no longer any sign of the chest or its peculiar and well-attired occupant. Bewildered by the odd encounter, you make your way up the stairs and out of the cellar. After giving Kilrith the book you retrieve, you spend the next small while conversing with him, though you make no mention of the rat man or the items he gave you. When the inquisitive tavern keep asks about Strongbox, you decide to tell him it wasn't there. He seems to believe your account and tells you he's sorry to have falsely inflated your hopes. We again thank you for covering the book. Might have to take a peek down there myself one of those days, he says. I'm not ready to do so just yet. That box gone. I feel a lot more at ease. Sorry you didn't get anything for your trouble. As Kura throws up his sleeves and moves off to attend to an argument taking place on the far side of the tavern, you make your way out of the tavern. While passing beneath a stone arch near the gates of the city, you suddenly spot a small figure lurking in the shadows on your right. However, you turn to get a better look, the diminutive shape melts back into the gloom and vanishes. Alright. Now let's go to Mistgate Square. Oh wait, time to identify that item first. Alright, I've got a wood icon of Biting Frost and the Cursed Wing of Zathmor. Okay, let's go have a look at this wing. It's all cursed. Hopefully not too cursed. Cursed Wing of Zathmor. 2 melee weighting, 8 stamina points. This is the gold wooden ring given to you by the Wapman in the cellar of Balmir's Tavern in Twindmoor. Several strange symbols are burned into the broad face of this carved band. And 32 XP to Arcania. Okay, well, we've got some time left. Let's go to Mistgate Square. Named for the perpetual blanket of thin, silvery mist that swirls and eddies across its glistening cobblestones, the broad quadrangle known as Mistgate Square is all but deserted. Numerous abandoned and dilapidated structures lie on the edges of the square, many of them seemingly close to collapse. A small smithy, the Mistgate Shoer, sits on the north side of the quadrangle. To the west, centres the dilapidated curiosity shop, and to the east is the run-down tavern, known as the Bubbling Cat. Visit the Mistgate Shoer. The sharp wing of metal, striking metal, assails your ears as you step up to the smithy. Looking up from his toils at the edge of the forge, a white-haired man, his face, hands and apron blackened, lays down his hammer and briefly inspects his horseshoe. "You got business here?" he says gruffly, wiping his hand on his apron. "You don't look like you come here for horseshoes, though I can tell you that the finest you'll ever find anywhere are white here." "Inquire about the Everforge." Your inquiry brings a knowing smile to the grim straight face of the smith. "Well then, I suppose you must have a ticket," he says. You step forward and hand him the silver encrusted ticket, which he snatches from you and promptly tosses into the glowing belly of the forge. "Very good," he says, smirking. "I didn't think you came in here for horseshoes. Finest around, though, if you care to know. Did I already mention that?" "Can't quite remember the last time someone asked about the Everforge. My name's Tark Kirinoan. The folk around here call me Tark. And if you care to know, not many come round this way anymore. You're welcome sight, my friend." As soon as you introduce yourself, Tark nods and leads you through a doorway to the doorway at the back of the smithy, along a dark, narrow passage into a large, windowless room. The white-haired smith points to the opposite wall, a formidable barrier of large, precisely cut stone blocks. "You can step right through that, if you know how," he says. "Clever bit of magic Tam Yar arranged for many years back." Tark whistles the first several notes of a well-known folk ballad while staring expectantly at stone wall. "Need to give that just another go," he says, myth. He again whistles, this time maintaining the last note for several seconds. The stone wall shimmers for several moments before reverting to its original state. "In you go," he says, warming his hand towards the wall. "You just mark what you've heard, and you can enter yourself next time." With just the slightest bit of trepidation, he moves the wall, reach out to touch it, only to have your hand pass through its stone surface, as it's not even there. "Hurry now," says Tark. "You don't want it to become solid again while you're passing through it, do you?" Spurred on by the unpleasant notion, you step through the masterful illusion and immediately find yourself standing amidst the oppressive heat and ringing clamour of the legendary Ever Forge. A middle-aged, raven-haired woman, her arms, face and apron smudged with the dark, telltale signs of her demanding toil, looks up from the blade she's been hammering and regards you with a quizzical stare. "A pleasure to meet you, Octopus Doctor," she says, a casual use of your name catching you off guard. I'd heard you might find your way here. I'm Tamyar. So anything you need, just let me know." With that, the smith holds up the blade she's working on, examines for a few moments, then thrusts it back into the fire of the forge. When you inquire about the 6 Everforged items you're here to claim, Generous smiles and nods. "Yes, yes, of course you are," she says. "Choose an Everforged item. Jaro asks you which of the Everforged items you'd like to claim. Don't worry, just pick one. I can always turn it into something different should you desire that. That's the beauty and power of this grand old forge. However, I can't turn armour into weapons, or weapons into armour. It doesn't quite work that way." "Alright, so there's a sword, a mace, a hammer, an axe, a staff, a dagger, a spear, plate armour, a wing, amulet, gauntlets and shield. I'll take a sword first." Chamber nods and steps around to the side of the forge, placing her just out of sight. Suddenly a brilliant flash of red light floods the room. As the light fades, she strolls back into view, clutching a remarkable longsword, which she promptly hands to you. "That's an Everforged weapon," she says proudly. "Never forget that. Everforged sword. Melee rating of 80. 17 extra versus goblins, dragons, demons, giants, and the undead. Yeah, it's just ridiculously overpowered. This is the diamond level Everforged weapon, which is the highest level. The blade of this long sword is engraved with the image of an anvil over which arcs a chain of 3 interlinked squares, the insignia of the Everforged. To have this weapon reforged, visit the Everforged in Trindwar. This weapon is of magical quality. No surprise there. And you can change its name. I'm not going to, but you can. Got 5 items left to claim. You best get on with it." "Alright, I'll take my armour." Tonio nods and steps round to the side of her forge, placing her just out of sight. Suddenly, a bright flash of red light floods the room. As the light fades, she strolls back into view, holding an impressive piece of plate armour, which she promptly hands to you. "Everforged plate armour. Melee rating 24, 36 stamina points. The ornate silver and black armour is enchanted interlocked steel plates perfectly conforming to your torso. It was created in the Everforge in Trimbador. Engraved on the centre plate of this armour is the image of an anvil, over which arcs a chain of 3 interlinked squares, the insignia of the Everforge. You got 4 items less to claim. Best get on with it." "I'll take the wing." As the light fades, she strolls back into view, holding a magnificent wing, which she promptly hands to you. "View it. 23 melee rating, 13 stamina points. This thick steel wing, inlaid with bands of silver, was created in the Everforge in Trindmoor. And it's got the same symbol. 3 items left to claim. Alright, the amulet. Alright, here's the amulet. Remarkable amulet. 22 melee rating, 18 stamina points, 1 Neville reserve. This weighty, triangular steel amulet, centre of which is fitted a trio of iron stars, was created in the Everforge in Trindmoor. Alright, and 2 items, the gauntlets. Alright, magnificent set of gauntlets, 22 melee rating, 24 stamina points. This the arm guard portion of these enchanted steel gauntlets are laid with bands of silver that meet and encircle a square of iron set into the hand plating. These remarkable gauntlets were created at the Everforge in Twindmoor. One item left to claim, the shield. Shimadana, she nods, and comes back with an impressive shield she promptly hands to you. Everforge shield. 45 melee weighting and 17 stamina points. This grand enchanted heater shield, comprised of a steel frame surrounding a solid black oak face inlaid with thick bands of silver, bears not a single blemish. It's created in the Everforge and it's very, very powerful. There, that takes care of that. Remember, if you ever need anything I forged in the Everforge Reforged, need only ask. Turn her bows and returns to the edge of the forge, where she immediately begins hammering away at the blade she's been shaping. The clamour of her well-placed strikes echoes throughout the forge. Yep. The incessant clamour of ringing steel assails your ears, a chamyar. The Everforge current and only smith labours away at the edge of the mythical forge. The middle-aged, raven-haired woman, her arms, face and apron smoked with the dark, telltale signs of her demanding toil, looks up from the piece she's been shaping and regards you with a curt nod. With that, she resumes her demanding, seemingly endless work. Leave the Everforge. As you begin to make your way out of the fort, Tamyara calls after you, a voice echoing through the hot, smoky chamber. You turn to find her standing next to Amvel, her arms folded and a wise smile on her face. Take care of yourself out there, she says. Come back in here any time you need something. With that, you bid her farewell and depart, passing through the illusory wall and saying goodbye to Tark before setting out into Mistgate Square. Let's just equip some stuff. No. Okay. Now to the Babbling Cat Tavern. The Babbling Cat Tavern, its interior of which is in much better repair than its exterior, is all but deserted, save for a small group of elderly men seated around the corner table, playing what appears to be a mix of Traitor's Gambit and Dragon Coin, two popular wagering games. Nilfwick, the tavern's bald, grey-haired, bay-bearded keeper, stands up at slanted quarter, tending to his various duties. He looks up and nods to you. Converse with Nilfwick. Nilfwick flashes you a knowing grin as you move up to introduce yourself. I expected to see you sooner or later, he says. Have you got the token with you? It's just a formality, I realise. There's something to be said for the sort of thing. You produce the wing engraved token and hand it to the tavern keep, who briefly inspects it before slipping the small piece into his pocket. Very good, he says. All is in order. Please follow me. Nilfwick leads you to a small, overgrown courtyard behind the tavern. The tavern keep whistles once, and before you draw on your next breath, a large Choterik steps out from behind a heap of shattered casks. The winged mech reptile moves up to Nilfwick, for its disarming gaze remains focused on you. They're all a bit wary at first, says Nilfwick, but they're loyal to a fault once they're familiar with you. Nilfwick pats the back of the Choterok's ridged neck, properly trained Choterik doesn't fly off, he said, so there's no change with that. I can't tell you how this one came into my keeping, though I will admit to being glad it's going to a better circumstance than I can hope to provide. The tavern keep affectionately strokes the sides of the flying reptile's angular head. This creature has only ever known kindness, he says. I know the same will be true when you're its master. As you step to walk forward to more closely examine the Choterik, holding out your hand, allowing the creature to take in your scent, you notice that Choterik is male, or the Turtle Rock is female.
Yep, this is me choosing its gender. Female.
A sturdier, friendlier lass you won't find in the species, says Nilfrock, stepping up and patting the Chilterock's ridge back. Just absolutely remarkable in every way. Nilfrock looks fondly upon the winged reptile and smiles. Swiftwing's her name. But you're free to choose another name for her. As Nilfrock begins rambling through the various traits of Chilterock as a species, you examine the creature's thick coat of scales, taking note of its brilliant hue of blue, green, red, orange, golden, silver, grey, black, or violet. Yeah, I can choose its colour. I'll make him violet. You remark upon the violet hue, the chicory scales. Yes, it's really quite stunning. Says Chicory. You don't often see such a colour on these amazing creatures. As the noble reptile nuzzled her angered head into you and starting to spread affection, you won't suddenly realise it's a horned Turtwig or a hornless Turtwig. Well, I can stick when I have horns. Just mind the horns, says Nithwick, laughing, making reference to the short white horns protruding forward angle from the size of the Turtwig's head. Never been struck by one, but I don't think I'd care to be. I suppose you'll have come up with a name for, says Newark. Yeah, they'll come when called by their name. It doesn't take them long to learn it. Smart beasts, no mistake. So we name Swiftwing, enter the name into the box below, and then click the set name button. It'll generate a random name. Red Fury, Red Heart, Blue Eye, Gold Fang, Diamond Cloud, Emerald Cloud, Swift Spine. Alright, I'll set Swift Spine. Alright. Nifrix smiles and pats the wig back of the Toad Wing. Swift Wing. He moves his closing one eyes. I well like that name. I suppose it suits her. Now, let's not delay. The winged gal wants to take to the sky. Low, fierce, and restless, I'll describe all Chilterock, and this one's no exception. Nilfrock spends the next small while going over some care instructions regarding Chilterock, and ends up by warning you against leaving Swiftwing unattended for too long. Don't mean at your abode, what does it mean? What I mean is, should you land somewhere, particularly the horses nearby, or other manner of livestock, you might want to keep a close eye on this lass of yours. Chilterock have been known to have a taste for that sort of thing every now and then. Nilfrock provides you the tack required to ride a Chilterock, including an ornate, iron-studded leather saddle. That's made specially for Chilterock, he says. Something fit to slap a horse's saddle on their back. But that's neither proper nor safe. Use the white gear, and you're not likely to topple out of the sky to your death. At last, you take your leave of Nilfrock, proud to depart astride your newfound flying mount. The tavern keep watches a swift wing, her wings beating a steady rhythm, lifts out of the courtyard, swiftly bearing you into the fathomless blue expanse far above Twindmoor. After a wide series of circles, complete with two heart-stopping swoops, the Chilterock gladly sets down, gracefully sets down in the heart of the moorland city. Note, to summon and take to the sky and sit on Swiftwing, select the fly option from any location from which you can travel. Note, that's the same thing twice. And now I can fly about. Aside Swiftwing, you fly into the sky above Twindmoor, prepare to take a set course for Dragonwrath. Whoosh! Swiftwing carries you safely from Twindmoor to Dragonwrath, And now back to Twindmoor. Whoosh! With Wing bears you safely from Dragonwrath to Twindmoor. Yeah. Of course, you've got to fly, do it normally sometimes, so you can get your rested bonus for riding on a horse, since that's just how it's triggered. Alright. Mistgate Square once more. Now to visit a dilapidated curiosity shop. The mountainous heaps that fill nearly the entirety of the small shop's interior appear to be made up of little more than useless trinkets, broken items, and random bits of debris. A thick layer of dust has settled over almost everything, leaving you to wonder how long it has been since one took an interest in any of the objects on display. An old man, his long white hair dangling in ragged strands that nearly reach his bony shoulders, looks up from behind a cluttered table on which he's sorting several piles of odds and ends and nods to you. "Pleasant I saw day out there," he remarks. "Show him your quitter keeper's decree." You present the furled decrees to the old man. He promptly snatches it away, unfurls it, and closely examines the fanciful, faded script adorning its yellowed surface. "Yes, yes, it's all quite in order, so it seems," he says, fixing you with a sceptical look. "I suppose you'll be wanting to have the pet this scrap of paper says you entitled yourself. Well, can't see any reason to deny you. You seem capable enough to properly look after the quitter." Begin to inquire about what he's just said, but the old man holds up his white forefinger and swings it at you. "You don't need to engage in all sorts of pointless yammering," he says. "I'm Verquin. That should be plain enough. Once upon a time, folks knew me as the quitter keeper. I suppose the title is still valid. Here. Follow me, we'll get on with it." Verbrin leads you to the cellar of his shop and over to the heavy wooden door secured by a stout oaken drop bar. "Afraid I can't let you go any further," he says. "It's for your own safety and the safety of, well, mostly for your own safety. Just wait here a moment." After removing the drop bar, Verbrin opens a door only a couple of feet and steps around it, pulling the heavy slab closed behind him. Moments later, the door opens part way and Verbrin steps into view, holding a seemingly empty black cloth sack. He closes the door and places the sack on the floor at your feet. "Have you ever seen an altar wisp?" he asks. "No, I doubt very much you have. Strange and wondrous creatures, but extremely rare. In fact, this is almost certainly the only one in all of Northern Swift. Look, here it comes." You glance down at your feet. The mouth of the cloth sack is beginning to open. You watch in astonished silence as a glowing orb of white light about the size of your fist emerges from the sack and floats up into the air. A dazzling spear, nearly translucent at its core, silently hovers in front of you. Subtle movements, almost hypnotic. "That's an altar wisp," says Verbrim. "A more peculiar creature you will not find." As a small globe of light continues to float before you, Verbrim explains the altar wisps are able to change form into one of a myriad other creatures. "It's not an illusion," he explains, "because they actually become the creature." "Oh, I should mention something more about that. Want to know that?" Suddenly, a sharp pain erupts in your head as an orb of light surrounding the altar wisp briefly intensifies, stifling an agonized gasp. You're relieved when the pain abruptly subsides and the wisp's glow becomes less intense. Verbrin tells you the altar wisp has just locked minds with you, revealing one of the creature's most impressive and potentially dangerous traits. Your will will determine the form the altar wisp will take, he says. "Don't try and hear mind. You need to simply imagine the creature when presence exists, and well, the rest will take care of itself. Verbrin says the Alterwisp is able to change its form countless times, including reverting back to its original wisp form. Just take care that you consider all the whisks. There. You can take home with you in that sack. Just open it and it will float in. Good luck with you. May it prove a loyal and untroublesome pet. With the Alterwisp once again in the Black Cough sack, you thank Verbrin and make your way out of the cellar and back into the cluttered curiosity shop. Take care of that little critter, says Verbrin as you're about to leave. And keep an eye on it whenever you can spare one. It might just be for the best. You bid the critter keeper farewell and leave the shop. To see your newly acquired Alterwisp in action, to customise its form, return to Larkstone House. Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to fly upon Swift Wing to Larkstone House, which is pretty similar to the other ones. Okay. Your Alterwisp floats by a distance, seemingly oblivious to your presence. Alright. Seek out the Alterwisp. Though at times elusive, your Alterwisp always seems, as far as you can tell, happy to see you. The Alterwisp drifts by in your presence, to surrounding your presence, so name it. Okay. To name your Alterwisp. Yep, so you can change it. Change its name. Alter the form of the Alterwisp. And you can alter its gender. It's currently male. I'll just keep it like that. Alter the form. The Alterwisp is currently in the form of the Alterwisp. What new form should the Alterwisp assume? Black Fang Spider, Stump Turkle, Armored Scavenger, Tackerback, Quag Wolf, Tarnwhack, a field mouse, a wildy toad, a cat, a blaze snake, or reward a lizard. A field mouse. You lock minds with the Alterwisp, and the strange creature immediately reads your thoughts, effortlessly determining the form you desire to adopt. Flash! Following a dazzling burst of white light, you Alterwisp, most recently an Alterwisp, is now a field mouse. The Alterwisp dashes about, apparently getting used to the sudden change of form. Yep. Although at times elusive, your field mouse always seems, as far as you can tell, happy to see you. Your field mouse dashes about in your presence. Move elsewhere. Candle stalks past, stalking after your field mouse. And, well, that's pretty much everything. Yeah, that's what I got in the when I backed the 2019 Kickstarter. Okay, next time, well, it'll probably this adventure wasn't really planned, so next time we'll be seeing what happens when we find more of those fragments of matter. Of madness. Now it seems the GM is sick or was sick, so it might be a while. So anyway, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the US, more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.